So this morning, we're starting a new message series as we start journeying together kind of to the cross. We have the resurrection time coming up. We have Easter Sunday coming up. I'm always tempted not to preach about the resurrection of Jesus on Easter just to mess with everyone, but I still feel like that's where he's leading us. It's what people are looking for. So we're starting this new message series. It's entitled Took On. The idea comes from Isaiah 53, a prophetic word about Jesus. And in that prophetic word, there's a whole list of things that it said Jesus would take on himself. And he took on these things onto himself so that you don't have to carry them. He came and took these things on so that you could be delivered and set free from them. And so I'm excited to be starting into this, and it's here for such a time as this. Because life can be tough, right? I mean, how many people feel like this guy so often in life? And everyone else, if you'll notice, there's a group of hikers back behind him. They're just like enjoying the view. They're you know, probably what you call this when you're visiting a place, tourists, you know, just coming to check out the place. That guy's doing his probably everyday work day. And you feel like that's your life. Like you're so weighed down. You're so burdened. Everyone else's life is just going great. And, you know, they're doing it. They're wicked and sinful. And you're trying to serve God. And your life is just getting worse and worse. And theirs seems to be getting better and better. You know, all of us have felt this way from time to time. And just when you felt like you couldn't take any more, you get that call or text or, you know, whatever, and it's just like another burden, yet another one, another one, another one. This life that we live is in the context of this world that is corrupted by sin. This is not the way God had planned it to be. But because he gave us free will, here's the consequences. So we live in this world corrupted by sin, and that leaves no shortage of opportunities to get weighed down by burdens in life. The lives of most people on the face of the earth right now, as we've been talking about, you know, they've been suddenly turned upside down by the coronavirus, as it's commonly known as. It's literally, if you've looked at what this is nothing new. The coronavirus has been around. Look at the back of your Lysol can. It kills the human coronavirus. It's just a different strand, a slight mutation of it. You know, it's just a little different than what we've had up to date. But it is a 120 nanometer. Nanometer, like you need a microscope, obviously, to see this kind of thing, ball of RNA. I mean, it's this tiny little microscopic ball of things, and all that it's trying to do is survive. It's not trying to destroy you. Like, it's just doing what it does. Like, it just replicates itself. That's what viruses do. Praise be to God, he gave you an immune system. It's like, whoa, wait a second, this isn't the right RNA. This is not supposed to be here. You stop talking to the rest of your cells, you know, and it kills it, and you get rid of it. And that's why coronavirus is brought on toilet paper shortage. I don't know. But anyways, your body gets rid of it, you know? Your body does this every single day with all kinds of harmful viruses and bacteria and everything. And we have medical staff that can explain this far better than I can. That's my limited knowledge of how our body works and how our immune system works, you know? But that tiny little thing that is not an intelligent life form, it has no idea. It just does what it does. And it has, like, thrown the world into just fear and confusion and anxiety. It's just amazing to think about. So don't ever, like, minimize the effect of small things and small beginnings, right, as the Word of God tells us not to. I mean, look at what it's able to do. The borders of nations have been closed. Public activities have been ceased and forbidden. Cities have been forced into quarantine. I mean, this is like the introduction to some of the video games I used to play, you know, like an apocalyptic kind of thing. And it's our reality. I mean, you know, we're living in days that remind me just like that. And unfortunately, it's just our reality. Like, it's hard to believe sometimes you flip on the news or when you walk into a store. It's just, like, I just shake my head. It's just hard to believe that this is happening. And so as a result, today has been declared as a National Day of Prayer by President Trump. He called this National Day of Prayer because we got to seek after God. I mean, I praise God that he's acknowledging that there's only one place we can turn to in these times, right? And he needs the wisdom of God to be able to lead us through this thing. I can't imagine being in his position right now. In any world leader's position. I mean, how do you, even at the local level, I can't imagine the decision, you know, talking to some of our school board members, you know, and the decision that's faced before them, because you don't want to put people at, you know the impact this is going to have in the community. You know it's going to be bad. But at the same time, it could be worse if you bring the kids together, because you know how kids are. I've got kids. When one kid gets a runny nose and boogery flu, the whole school's got the whole, you know, I mean, it's bad. So I understand the wisdom in their decision. So as we go through this series, We're looking back to that prophetic word, and we're learning about those burdens that Jesus took on himself so that we can live in freedom. And I'm reading from the New Century Version this morning, Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse 4. It says, "But he," and this is a prophetic word about Jesus, "he took on our suffering, and he felt our pain for us. We saw his suffering, and we thought God was punishing him. But he was wounded for the wrong that we did. He was crushed for the evil that we did. The punishment which made us whole was put on him. We are healed because of his wounds. Because we all have wandered away like sheep. Each one of us has gone our own way. But the Lord has put on him the punishment for all the evil that we have done." So Jesus took on all of these things, took on all the wrongdoing that we have ever done, so that we can receive the freedom and everything that he promises. And so today we're going to be focusing on one of those burdens that Jesus took on so we could be free of them. It's a scripture that we all love to quote. You'll hear it in these altars thousands of times before and thousands of times still in the future. It is actually number 12 of the 16 fundamental truths of the Assemblies of God, if you're familiar with them. And that is that by his wounds we are healed. One of the things that Jesus took on himself was our sickness and disease. He took on your sickness and disease so that you can be healed. After all, those are one of the side effects, we'll call them, of sin. That's what one of the consequences of sin was sickness, disease, and death. Jesus took them on so that we don't have to carry them. Now, we were challenged this past Lent on Wednesday evening here at New Hope about all the ments of Scripture, including atonement. The torn body and the shed blood of Jesus on the cross, it wasn't only to pay the price for our sins so we can get into heaven and out of hell, but also so that we could be delivered from sickness. He was wounded so that we can be healed. Physical healing was a significant part of Jesus' earthly ministry. Whenever people think of Jesus, you know, generally speaking, that's usually what they think of. You know, the guy that healed people. It's one of the acts that he's best known for. Healing blind eyes, deaf ears, cleansing the lepers, watching the lame leap, and so much more, right? Jesus healed every sickness and every disease. I mean, that's tremendous. I can go to specialist after specialist after specialist, and they can't necessarily figure out what's wrong with me or know the cure to take care of it. And some of the things that we know about, we've got these, you know, I've got an insulin pump for type 1 diabetes, you know? I mean, we've got a fix for it, but we don't have a cure for it. But Jesus healed every sickness, every disease, every single one. It's amazing. And that was before he took on the cross. That was before he rose from the dead. Believe it or not, it was actually before he resurrected, you know, or raptured us home, right? He did this on the, as Marie prayed, you know, here on the earth as it was in heaven. And here we read through just a few of these scriptures. Matthew 8, chapters verses 16 to 17, it says, "When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick." This was to fulfill what was spoken through prophet Isaiah that we just read about. "He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases." He took them on himself. He took on our sickness and diseases so we don't have to have them. Luke chapter 7, verse 20 to 22, it says, when the men came to Jesus, and these were disciples of John the Baptist, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Now, this was after John actually baptized Jesus and knew that he was the one, but he still had some questions and doubts afterward. And to this very day, especially in these days, people are questioning that. Who is Jesus? Is he really who people say that he is? Is he really like the way that people describe him and define him? Because we all have varied expectations of Jesus, different perceptions of who he is and what he is like, different interactions with him, different expectations of him. And we all have a degree of uncertainty when we approach him, if we're going to be honest with each other. However, Jesus remains the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He is who he is, and that is the truth. He is the one who has come, and he far exceeds even our highest expectations of him. You know, John the Baptist's disciples were asking, you know, are you the one that is to come, or should we expect something else? Jesus is the one. He remains the one. And we can have some pretty high hopes and high expectations of him. And when we turn to Jesus, even when we have these questions in our mind the way that his disciples did, Jesus proves himself to be faithful and true. Jesus is not minimized by your doubts, by your questions, by your concerns, by your worries. He doesn't change. And he's not ashamed of you for asking them or having them. In fact, he responds to them the way that he did here. It says, to these men, well, we're going to continue on verse 21, but to these men, Jesus gave an opportunity for them to provide an eyewitness account of who he was. He didn't just say, yes, I'm the one, go tell John. He said, hold up, just hold on. And this had to be a fun and exciting thing to witness and to be a part of. I mean, we read through the scriptures and we just read them so callous-hearted and everything. Picture yourself there while this is happening, you know? And this is how Jesus responded. He was like, am I the one? Well, check this out. And in verse 21, it says, at that very time. So as soon as they questioned him, Jesus says, okay, check this out. He cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, evil spirits. He gave sight to those who were blind. And then he said to the messengers, like, he didn't even talk to them yet. They came, they asked these questions, and he's just like, boom, 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 like healing all these people blind. See? And then he turns to them, and he finally answers them. And he says this. He said, go back and report to John what you've seen and these things that you've heard about. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. And how awesome would that be to be a part of? Jesus is like, go tell him what just happened here. And of course, we know through those experiences and encounters that, of course, he was the one they were waiting for. Again, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Yes, Jesus was in church every Saturday because that's when their Sabbath was. You know, he was a Jew of Jews. His butt was in church and he was teaching and preaching. We don't read much about it. Not much is recorded there. Why? For the same reason that we see today. Ministry happens outside these doors. I've prayed for people. This is my personal experience. I'm not saying if it's right, wrong, or indifferent. It might reveal a problem with me. I don't know. But I've prayed for people at these altars. Some of y'all have been praying for years and years, and we haven't seen breakthrough. But Jesus just kind of reminded me this morning that I haven't had a single encounter outside of these walls when I was led to pray for somebody for healing, that Jesus didn't miraculously heal them. I mean, Becky had that one experience with me at Eaton Park with the waitress and her, like, she came back, like, clicking her heels. She was so thrilled. She's like, I've been going to doctors for years and getting shots. And she's like, she's like showing us. She's like, it doesn't hurt. Like, she was just thrilled, you know? That's where ministry happened. And so that's a side note. But anyways, so it doesn't say what happened in the synagogues, but what happened outside of the synagogue. It said Jesus proclaimed the good news of the kingdom. He healed every sickness. He healed every disease among all the people. Every sickness, every disease, all the people. That's pretty inclusive, right? Now, did it matter whether they were sinful, wicked people? Did it matter if it? No, he just healed them. He just healed them. He just brought the kingdom of God. That's what he was there to do. But I love that reality because I've looked through the New Testament over and over and over again. Because I've struggled about why I haven't been healed, you know, myself personally. But never once have I found an instance anywhere where it was recorded that somebody with a sickness or disease who came to Jesus for healing was turned away for any reason. They were always healed. Always. Every time. Never once did Jesus say, sorry, it's the Father's will for you to suffer in this season. Right? Now we have that one man that, like, whose sin was it? Why is he sick? Jesus is like, it's no one's fault. There, he's healed, you know? There are those kind of instances. Never once did Jesus say, just come back to me when you have enough faith, and then I'll take care of things, right? Never once did he say anything like that. No, Jesus healed every sickness and every disease of all those who came to him. However, there might be the key, right? Those who were healed were the ones who came to Jesus to seek after his healing hand. They may have had questions. They may have had uncertainty. We know that father whose son had epilepsy, right? He was like, I have faith, but give me faith. Increase my faith. Like, we know these things. They may have had questions. They may have uncertainty. But their actions prove that they had faith that Jesus could heal because they came to him. That act in itself, because he was a public figure. People were just crowding around him. The fact that they pushed through the crowds, like that woman with the issue of blood, pushed through, even if you're on your hands and knees and reach out just for the hem of his garment, that proved, even if you had questions, you still had faith. You had faith at least the size of a mustard seed, right? And it released their healing. And honestly, it breaks my heart whenever I stop and wonder how many people were like I had been in the past. How many people sat there and watched Jesus walk by thinking, well, Lord, if it's your will, he'll reach out to me, he'll heal me. And then he walked by and they're like, I guess it wasn't your will. How many people have like stinking thinking like that? You know, that we're right there. You're like inches from your breakthrough. And because you sat on your rear end, you didn't receive it. How many times have we been that person? I've gone to huge meetings and conferences, and I'm like, okay, well, Lord, if you have a word for me, then that prophet's just going to call me out, right? How many people, we think that's spiritual and faith. That's not what we see in the scriptures. No, it was that person that's shoving everyone else out of the way and be like, pray for me. You know, not twiddling their thumbs thinking, boy, I hope this person's going to stick around long enough to get through this whole healing line, you know? I mean, think about that. It was the people who pushed ahead. It's not how we train our kids to be, but I'm telling you, it's the people that pushed through and really sought after Jesus in the scriptures. Those are the ones that were healed. You know, how many of us have been there and we just kind of sat on the sidelines? I mean, you know, I even in sports, I mean, do you ever do that? Like, you know, think about a kid in sports that just sits on the sidelines all the time and they kind of kick the dirt when they're, you know, out there on base or whatever, and they're like, well, the coach, they're going to see it in me, and then they're going to call me out, right? No, they're the ones that get benched all the time, you know? It's the ones that go out there and exert themselves and prove themselves. They're the ones that get the field time, right? I mean, come on, it's no different in the kingdom of God. It's the ones who seek that find, is it not? It's the one who knock who get the answers. It's the ones that actually go and do something about it, right? They're the ones that receive the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is not a kingdom of wishful thinking, or those shallow positive thoughts. I love it when you say, pray for me. People are like, I'm sending positive thoughts your way, you know? And I'm like, I'm picturing something like beaming positivity, you know? I don't get that. I don't want your stinking positivity. I want Jesus to heal me, okay? Like, I need a miracle here. I don't care how positive or negative you think about me. I could care less. I want Jesus to heal me, you know? I mean, you guys have been in these situations, right? You understand? Yes. So reading through the ministry of Jesus, it reveals that almost every time it was because of the boldness and courage of somebody to seek after him, you know, that released the healing. It's a kingdom of power. It's a kingdom of pursuit. That is what the kingdom of God is. God draws near to us when? When we draw near to him. Exactly. You know, God answers as we cry out. Those who seek are the ones who find. Those who knock have the answer. We take the first step. God meets us there in that place. Again, Matthew chapter 11, verse 6, we know that without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must first of all believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Too many people see God as a punisher, not a rewarder. God is a rewarder. The punishment's here on the face of this earth, right? This is where the punishment lies. He's the rewarder, the rewarder. To receive healing from Jesus, we must come by faith. We must believe that he exists, and then he will reward you for earnestly seeking after him. He will reward you for that. We must seek after him, not being double-minded and not expecting to receive what we ask. And not thinking, well, if you even exist, like, then you'll do it. Does that even make any sense? If my son came to me that way, like, well, you know, if you'll do... I hate when my kids approach me that way, you know? They're like kicking the dirt, like, oh, I mean, if you want to or whatever... Somebody actually approached Jesus that way with healing, you know, and if you're willing. Jesus is like, what? If I'm willing? And he just healed them, you know. We got to come to him, not with these doubts and questions, and that's an unstable person that should expect to receive nothing from him. But when we come to him with boldness and honest about our questions, not trying to hide them, he rewards you. He takes care of those things. And I love it because we're blessed to live in a unique time in history. Because our faith in Jesus, it's not a blind faith. I am glad that we live in the time of history that we do, because we have recorded, documented historical facts to look back on to know that Jesus is who he says he was and will do what he says that he will do, right? We have evidence of eyewitnesses who had actually been healed by Jesus physically in person. And we have countless examples of that here and now today. Even inside of these four walls right now, we have testimonies that Jesus is still healing today. We have them. We know what he is able to do, the miraculous things that he is able to do. Jesus took on our sickness and disease. He paid a high, high price for your healing. By his wounds, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. Do you think he paid that high of a price and then just doesn't want you chasing after it? He's just going to keep it from you and be like, neener, neener, you know? I got it. Like, I'm sorry. Like that old meme used to float around with the insurance commercial with the guy at the fishing pole. Oh, you got to be faster than that, you know? That's not Jesus. That's not who he is. He's not stringing you along just to, like, smack you down, you know? Like I do, I play basketball with my daughter, and I just love it because I'm still a little better than her, you know? Not for long, though. She goes to shooting, I'm like, pow! Yeah! I'm not a kind father, but she's a better athlete as a result. Jesus paid the high price so that you can freely receive it. He wants you to have it. He's not hiding it from you. He's not cruel and mean and wicked. You know, you're not going to ask for a fish and get a snake. You're not going to ask for the Holy Spirit and get a demon. He doesn't work that way. You ask for healing, he's going to give that to you. He paid that high price so that it can happen. However, we need to be, Jesus gave us a parable, like that old woman with the unjust judge. You remember that parable? She came nagging him week after week after week. And finally, just because he was tired of the nagging, he's like, have it. Jesus said, that's what I want you to be like in your prayer life. I want you to always pray and never give up. Literally, that's what Jesus said at the end of that parable. You ought to be like this. You ought to always seek and never give up. Just because you haven't received the healing yet doesn't mean it's not yours. It's yours. Keep seeking after it. Keep pursuing it, right? Okay, that's the spiritual side of things. It's yours. By his stripes, we are healed. We're healed. It's yours. It's yours. He paid a high price for it. Now, on the other side of things, we also use common sense, right? You see videos like this floating around, and I'm like, are you serious? Like, are we in preschool here? How to wash. I'll tell you what, though, I don't know how many times in my workplace I went to the restroom and I hear somebody like shut the stall door and walk right out. And I'm like, ah, I have to touch that same handle, man. Come on, you know? Use common sense. Jesus gave you a brain. Use it. In our Pentecostal circles, it drives me up a wall. People, don't say you have diabetes. You're cursing yourself with it. Don't you take that on. Sarah and Abraham said, I can't have kids. I'm in my 90s. God wasn't like, oh, then you're never receiving it. No. You just believe the truth of what God's word says above your reality. If you got the flu, admit it. You got it. If you don't admit that you got it, then why do you need healing? Like, it's so, I'm just like, just wake up. Come on. Just because you have something doesn't mean that you're like cursing yourself with it and you're claiming it and it's yours and then you're hopeless. God can't do anything. Admit that you got it, but I believe in the word of God beyond his truth trumps my facts. Let's say it that way. His truth trumps my facts and my reality. That's what miracles are all about. That's how the dead can be raised. Jesus didn't say, don't you dare say Lazarus is dead. He's not dead. No, Jesus bawling his eyes out. My friend is dead. He raised him to life. I mean, come on, right? Okay, we need a healthy balance in the body of Christ. A healthy balance here. You have to use common sense. God gave you a brain. Use it. Jesus alone is our healer. But we also have to do our part. Think about this. I was dealing in the emergency room with a woman once. Awful thing happened. She was bleeding internally, refusing. She's like, nope, I've got faith. God's going to heal me. I'm like, okay, if that cut was on your arm, and it's like, psh, 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 squirting out blood, okay? Would you allow the doctor to suture that? Well, yeah. What is wrong with you? That's what's happening inside your body. Let them cut you open and suture it. Like, I, as a pastor, the doctor probably had to, like, I don't know what he was thinking, but I was getting upset with the person. They're like, no, 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 my faith will heal me. I'm like, okay, I love your faith, but this is stupidity. This is not faith, okay? There's a difference here. What was she walking in? Fear. She didn't want to be put under. She didn't. There's a lot of unknowns there. Sometimes what we label faith is actually fear and stupidity, okay? Don't be an idiot, okay? Just don't be. Use common sense. I can't expect Jesus to heal my arm if I keep taking a knife and cutting it back open, right? Jesus is going to be like, okay, as soon as you put that knife down, I'll heal you, right? How many times do we injure ourselves? We don't let go so that Jesus can be our healer. This is true more often than not. If you are struggling and you're not receiving your healing, there may be something that you need to do to receive it. I mean, that's a real practical, honest example, but just think about that. That may be the case. I'm not saying it's the case, but it may be the case. We can't think about this. I mean, and this is convicting for me. It's stepping on my toes. We can't expect Jesus to deliver us from diseases like, you know, heart disease and diabetes and high blood pressure and COPD and all these things. If we continue eating a diet that is provided by Little Debbie and we continue drinking from the fount of Mountain Dew, right? I mean, let's just be honest, okay? Jesus will do it. He's gracious and merciful that way, but more often than not, it's like, okay, just put the ho-ho down, okay, and let's drink a glass of water a day. Let's start there, you know, and then maybe your healing will come, right? Just be honest. Use common sense, okay? As James taught us, let's connect the physical to the spiritual. James taught us that faith without works is dead. If you believe Jesus is your healer, then let your works prove that he is your healer. It's not even a miraculous thing. Jesus created your body to heal itself. Sometimes you just got to stop poisoning it so he has an opportunity to heal, right? Sometimes that's all that it takes. Our faith and action should work together because it's only then that it becomes complete. Think about this, and forgive me if this is crude, but it's just the reality. Abraham and Sarah, they had fullness of faith in God's promise to first of all take them into the promised land, to second of all make him the father of many nations. They had faith that that could be their reality. How did they respond as a result? Because in Hebrews, that's exactly what Paul teaches us about. How did it come to pass? Abraham got off of his butt and moved his family, right? He had no idea where he was going, but he moved wherever the Lord would lead him. That's how he got into the promised land, right? He got up and he moved, and he had no idea where he was even going. He did a work that coupled with his faith, and that's where the promise came into reality. Here's a funner one. They were promised to be the father of many nations. They were in their 90s. Sarah laughed because her womb was as good as dead. Okay? They did not have like a Jesus and Mary immaculate conception here or whatnot. Okay? I mean, they did their part and Jesus did his. And Sarah became pregnant and, you know, he's the father of many nations now. That's a fun one. Jesus, you know, I just ask you just do that same miracle for us here, right? You know, I mean, just, anyways, you can have fun trying. But think about that. It's the reality. We do our part, God does his part. Okay? And some of you guys, I don't know, I'm 36, but you may be thinking, yeah, it'd be a miracle. Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you're in your 90s, you know. They admitted their body was as good as dead, but somehow Jesus did a miracle everywhere. Anyway, so, in fact, think about this. Faith coupled with works. Look at the Old Testament. The law of God was just as much spiritual as it was practical. The Old Testament contained a lot of common sense wisdom. Don't eat uncooked meat. And I struggle with that one because I love my steak, you know, with a little pool of blood on the top, you know. Common sense though, right? Before the scientific facts and reality, God said, it's not healthy for you to do that. Now we know why. They didn't know why. They just knew God told them not to do that. God said, wash your hands before you eat. We now know why. God's word gave us the practical as well as the spiritual so that his people could walk in healing. so that his people could be whole and complete and healthy. So yeah, wash your hands, you know? I mean, we do our part. God faithfully does his part. Think about that, you know? Before I move on to this, I've got to do my part. He is our healer. He is our deliverer. He will heal us from every sickness and disease, and he will protect us from even contracting them. He's faithful to do that, right? But that doesn't mean that I go around and I, like, lick the handle at Walmart of the cart, right? I know he can protect me and deliver me. I'm not going to do that. If I drop my chicken nug, you know, on the floor at McDonald's, I'm not picking it up and eating it. Okay, I have faith, but I'm not stupid. I'm going to use what common sense Jesus has given me, what little degree it may be. Do you get this? Faith and works. Do your part, God does his. You'll find peace there. You'll know you've done everything that you can do. Trust in him for the rest, right? Okay, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. I'm going to finish up here because it gets better than this. Most of us already know this and you're getting ready to go home and eat, right? I know I am. Jesus went through all the towns, all the things. Okay, so anyways, he healed everybody. But it said that he looked at the people and he was moved by compassion. It is the compassionate heart of Jesus that brings healing. As long as we have a hard heart towards our neighbors and their actions, I mean, don't even call yourself a Christian. If you've got a hard heart towards people and you're just going to look down your nose and point at them and tell them how stupid they are and everything, please, especially don't tell me you go to New Hope, okay? Okay? Just please don't. I ask you not to. Take that bumper sticker off if you got one or whatever. Don't proclaim that you go here, all right? We don't need that, you know? It is a heart of compassion. Jesus knew the depth of their stupidity that got them in the situations they're in. He knew the depth of their sin. He knew what he was going to pay the price for to take on their sin, and yet he was motivated by compassion, a softened heart toward them. It was out of his compassion that he healed them. It was out of his compassion that he took on our sin, took on our sickness and disease, so we don't have to carry them. Now, he turns to us. I want to end on the good part, so I'm skipping a bunch for time's sake. Jesus said, freely you've received, now freely give. The disciples were walking with him. They'd seen him do all these miraculous healings. And then before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of Pentecost, Jesus brought the 12 in. He's like, okay, now I'm giving you authority to drive out demons, to heal every sickness. Now go. You go out two by two to all these. And they went and did the same thing. They were healing and curing and driving out demons. I mean, he did all these things. He looked around and he had compassion. And you know what he said? He said the scripture that Marie had prayed about. Man, the fields are ripe for the harvest, but the workers are few. Look at the harvest around us right now. It's never been more ripe for the picking. I mean, if you really want to look at it the way that Jesus saw it, Jesus had compassion on those people who were panicking for toilet paper. And then he reached out to them to give them hope and peace and healing. To give them all those things. We have the Holy Spirit within us. It's not a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of power and of sound mind, according to God's word. We have been empowered and commissioned to release healing and peace wherever we go. People are losing hope, but we have a living hope within us. Jesus went through the towns and villages and his disciples. They healed every sickness and every disease. He was struck on compassion toward them. You know, on his own, think about this, God in the flesh, he was limited in the impact that he could make. Jesus could only make it to so many towns. He was limited in the ministry that he could do, God in the flesh. So what did he do? He commissioned the 12 to go out and to do the same. And then he turned to us and he said the same. He said, as you go, that means everyday routines, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, as you're going, proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near. Why? Because the kingdom of God is in you. Whether you realize it or believe it or not, the kingdom of God is in you. You're the Ark of the Covenant. You carry the presence of God. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. I mean, it is powerful stuff. He said, therefore, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those of leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. And then his disciples went out, and he's now commissioning us to go out. And as those disciples went, everything happened exactly as he had said. And as we go out, the same can happen. If we're really listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, these things can happen. Because the fields are still ripe for the harvest, maybe more now than ever. Jesus is still the same. He's still healing. He's still delivering. He's still taking on those things to himself. And so he turned in Acts 1:8, he said that you, and that's us today, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you'll be my witnesses. Remember the disciples of John the Baptist? He didn't even respond to them. He said, okay, now look at what's happening. Jesus said they were witnesses. Now Jesus says that you will be his witnesses. You will get to be like John the Baptist. You'll get to see with your own eyes that Jesus is still the same today. Still healing, still delivering, still taking those things on himself. He has given us the same authority that he gave those 12 disciples to bring healing to every sickness and every disease, wherever we go. Those 12 simple men, they walked around, and all that they had that they didn't have before was the authority of Jesus. And that's you. Yes, you may be, you know, struggling with your own issues and your doubts and whatever. Jesus will meet you there. You have his authority, and that's all that you need. Jesus took on sickness and disease himself so that we could be delivered. And not just us here in the church, not just God's people, but everybody. The cross was for everyone. Every single person on the face of the earth, from now till forever. And he paid too high of a price for us not to take that seriously. Jesus took physical healing of every sickness and every disease very seriously. I mean, he paid the ultimate price for it. And now he has commissioned us to go and to release that healing wherever we're at. Jesus is the healer. It's him alone. It's not you, it's him. He's the one who heals. But you are getting sent out there, you know, like a referrer, right? When you find a good doctor, don't you refer people to them? You've got the great physician. I mean, let's start referring people to him, you know? Like, okay, let's pray about that. Let's seek Jesus for that and see what he can do. Jesus is the healer, but we're his messengers. And we get to share some good news to people. And right now, they could use some good news. They could use some hope. They could use some peace in their lives. We have the opportunity to give them that good news. We get to give hope to hopelessness, peace to worry, and we get to heal the sick. Trust me, the first time that you see it happen, first of all, I was like, oh, what? I was surprised. Like, you're walking on that leg now. It's not hurting you anymore? Like almost questioning and doubting it. Like, well, just go up on that. Actually, I had the guy stand on one leg just to make sure. Like, sorry. I'm a real person with some real issues, you know? Completely healed. I mean, he was thrilled as could be, and I was like, okay, well, have a good day. Like, it was like an opposite reaction. I should have been the one thrilled, but he, you know, like, man, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's exciting. It's addictive. It's like a drug. I mean, it's good stuff, you know? It's amazing to see what God can do. If Jesus points something out to you, gives you a word of knowledge about something, it's for a reason. He wants to do something about that, and he wants to use you. Right? That's how Jesus heals today. That's how Jesus heals today, through you and I. He has chosen you, filled you with his Holy Spirit, gave you all authority, gave you all the anointing that you need to go and to do what he did, to bring healing to the world. And I'm telling you, I mean, it's only happened to me like maybe 5 or 6 times, but it's amazing. It's miraculous. I mean, it's like, you know, you can read the book of Acts, but when you live the book of Acts, it's good stuff. I mean, you want more of it. You want more. Like, I won't start just praying for everybody that's out there, you know, but listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He'll take you exactly where you need to be at just that right time, and those opportunities, don't miss out on them. Just take advantage, full advantage of these opportunities that are before us. Look at the news. The opportunities are tremendous right now. You've got hope. You've got peace. Just, as Jesus said, he made it pretty simple. Jesus told his disciples, freely you've received, now freely give. That's all that he's calling us to do this morning. Just freely give out to other people what you've received. And I mean that in a spiritual and a practical sense. Okay? We're pretty stocked up. Trust Jesus. Share with others, and trust that he'll take care of your needs too. There's boxes of Dial soap out there. Even if your family doesn't need it, if there's still boxes and cases out there, take them and give them to somebody. I mean, you know, they've been sitting in my office for a couple of years now. Let's get them out there where they're needed. They're here for such a time as this, right? Who would have thought that I never dreamed that a little Dial soap, you know, would be valuable, but you can't buy it right now, so let's freely get them out there, okay? Who knows what Jesus is going to do through that simple act of giving, sacrificing something. All right, so anyways, I could go on and on and on. Let's end in prayer. And actually, I'm going to invite my beautiful bride to lead us in prayer.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we can trust you, and God, we know that we know that you have the best in mind for all those that we encounter as well. So God, give us direction in our daily lives and how to be this light and how to be this hope for others. And Lord, we know that this is a time that you are going to shine bright. So God, use us, your vessels, your people here to shine your light out there, Lord, giving hope to those who feel discouraged or hopeless or confused. Lord, help us to give a sound mind to those, God, because it's you that deserves the glory. So God, just continue to do that work. And Lord, I pray protection over each one out there, Lord, as they go. And Lord, just be big here. Let our faith be big. Let us show you to this world, because you do. You get the glory in all of it. And Lord, we know that you have all of our best in mind here in this community, in this county. And Lord, we just pray that you continue your work here on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.